Brit Nicole and Walk on the Water. You're tuned to 93.1 Life FM. It's great to have your company with us here on the level on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm joined in studio by my next guests, clinical manager from the Eating Disorder Centre, Trish Shiel, and Gráinne Murray. You're both very welcome to be with us today.
Thank you.
We might go to you first, Trish, because this is Eating Disorders Awareness Week, and this is the reason why you're joining us today, is to talk about the week that we have. Why is it so important to continue to raise awareness around eating disorders, Trish?
Okay. So basically, just to say that eating disorders are a very misunderstood, very serious illness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mental health condition. And also severely affects your body. So it's really important that we raise awareness of all signs and symptoms and to catch people early. Because as we say often, more people die of this condition than any other mental health or any other psychiatric illness. So it's really an important piece of information to get out there and to keep reminding people of that, so that if anyone comes across it, that they know to highlight it as soon as they can.
And is there any particular age bracket that we should be worrying about? Yeah. I mean, we tend to think about young girls, but that may not necessarily be the case.
Well, it's true that eating disorders usually begin in adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a fact. But eating disorders can happen at any stage in the life cycle. So we've had people as young as 12 come to us and as old as 62. And in fact, that was a man who we had at 62. So, and the usual ages, the most prevalent ages, are between 14 and 40. So
okay.
Those ages, that age bracket, yeah.
And when we talk about eating disorders, we're talking about a range of eating disorders.
We are, yeah. We're talking about anorexia and bulimia, people understand and know about. But there's also binge eating, and then there's also a whole range of other type of eating disorders called OSFED, which is other specified feeding and eating disorders. So that could be clean eating, as it's known today, orthorexia, chewing and spitting, where somebody will eat a small amount of food and then spit out the food. Lots of other eating most of your calories at night eating,
mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. So there's many subcategories really of eating disorders. Yeah,
there's a lot of those that we aren't very familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
As you said, it's mostly anorexia or bulimia that we'd have heard about in the past. Are these new ones, Trish, or have they always been there?
I think they probably have always been there.
Yeah,
but we're becoming more aware of them, and people are speaking out. And whilst we know that social media can actually influence the causation of an eating disorder, we also know that social media has taught people a lot about what is out there. So conversations happen around all these different types of eating disorders. So I think that's why we're learning. They're just coming out more,
mm-hmm.
really. Yeah.
Yeah. And conversation is good. It's not always a bad thing. It's important
it's
to talk about what's going
it
on.
Is. Yeah.
And when we talk about the onset of something like an eating disorder, is it primarily to do with someone just wanting to maybe lose weight, or are there other issues generally at play?
Okay, I suppose if we remember that an eating disorder is a coping mechanism.
Okay.
So somebody starts an eating disorder it's to cope with inner distress. Now that might start with somebody deciding to lose a few pounds, and we do know that dieting is the gateway drug, if you like, to eating disorders. Not everybody develops an eating disorder as a result of dieting, though, but the majority of people will start dieting because maybe they've lost weight and somebody says, oh, you look great. Their self-worth is very low and they think, oh, I'll try another little bit here. And so if they have a predisposition to the eating disorder, then it just gets hooked and it goes into a spiral. Yeah.
Wow. And we might come back to some of that. We want to go to Gráinne because you want to share a little bit about your own story with us today, Gráinne.
Yes, Anna. Well, I was 30, we talk about age groups. I was 37 when my eating disorder really manifested. I'm sure in hindsight, I can look back at my younger years and my teenage years. There was probably snippets of it there, but they didn't really come to anything, and I was able to manage those at the time. But when I was 37, that's really when my eating disorder kicked in, and I was diagnosed with anorexia nervosa. At the time, my background was nursing. I trained as a nurse in the UK. I did my midwifery here in Cork and then worked for many years in Marymount Hospice. So I had loved my job, had a lot of time in it, and put a lot of effort into it. And then suddenly, due to medical reasons, I had to give up work. So it was a huge void in my life, going from something that I loved and something that was really part of my persona, to not having anything. And I just lost a lot of my self-worth, my self-confidence. I didn't know who I was anymore, because my identity was probably, a lot of it was through my nursing. But I was a mum. I had twin boys. They were only 4 at the time. They had just started school. So it was a really difficult period for me. And then my eating disorder took over. I was very, very unwell for quite a long time and ended up having to go into an inpatient program, which for me at the time wasn't, because I was a young mum of 2. It was very difficult for me to be in Dublin. I was away from my family, which created more stress. I think my eating disorder initially started from, I suppose, after having twins and a little bit of weight put on, and there was a common past, and I decided that I'd go on a little diet and get myself fit, and then all the other issues sort of cropped in, and my kids went to school. I had huge separation anxiety from them going to school. I was also, I had 3 bereavements in my family in the space of 7 months. And they were all cancer related, which had a huge effect on me, because I felt useless. This was my area of work. This is what I had been working in for many years. And I felt that I couldn't do anything. I had no control. So I very much used my eating disorder as a coping mechanism. And the more I became under pressure psychologically and mentally, the more I exercised and the more I dieted, because I felt I had control of that part of my life, and that while I couldn't control the other things, that this was very much under my control. But I have learned, I suppose, over many years of therapy, that the eating disorder has been controlling me for many, many, many years. But I did complete my inpatient program. A very tragic family suicide in that space of time again just set me back. And again, I felt I needed to be at home with my husband and my kids. So I had to come out of my program a little bit early. And from there, I just had a lot of setbacks and relapsed and had a very rough few months, but got myself back into treatment. And from there, really, I got outpatient treatment. It was fantastic. And I aspired. And I suppose the one thing is that with an eating disorder, you need a good support system around you. We alone can do it, but we can't do it alone. You know, that's where places like the Eating Disorder Centre in Cork are huge. And that's why we have to have more awareness, more education to make people aware that there is help out there. And the earlier that you get it, the better.
And did you recognise at any time in the early stages, Gráinne, that this thing was getting hold of you rather than you having a hold of this?
Yes, I suppose initially I didn't, but after a while, probably after maybe really a good year of kind of going through those bereavements, and then I realised I was in trouble here.
Okay.
And I suppose I was 37, I was a bit more mature, I had a lot of life skills behind me, I had a nursing background, and even though a lot of people would have said to you, you know that it's not good, you're losing weight, but you don't see it at that time because you're just stuck in this. It's just like a roller coaster and you just can't get off it. So yes, I feel that you need the support is huge. But it is sometimes just hard to kind of stop it yourself. But I did make my own way to a GP and got my diagnosis and kind of went for help. I needed to be well. I had a young family. I needed to be there to be able to help and support them and be a mom and be a wife and be a daughter. And
Because you did come from a medical professional background, so obviously you had a lot more insight into something like this than we'd say other people would have had. Did your family members comment, or were they kind of part of that urge for you to take the next step and go to the GP?
My husband was a huge support to me, yes. Mm. My parents, my husband was my main support, really, and he supported me all the way through my inpatient programme, through my outpatient programme, through all my therapy. He's been a huge strength. And yes, family. And, you know, sometimes family, I suppose that's again why we need to raise awareness, is families don't always understand, and we have to put the education there and teach them. And sometimes they can say the wrong thing, and, you know, they don't realise. So that's the importance of raising awareness and educating. And it's so important to include the carers of people with eating disorders.
Yeah, because you said very often they may not understand. They might say, well, why can't you just...
Yeah, and a lot of people just think, why can't you just eat? Why can't you stop the exercise? But it's a very complex disorder. And there's a lot of issues to be worked through. And, you know, another lovely quote is, it's not what we eat, it's what's eating us. And there's a lot of underlying issues that we have to address. And until you address those, really, then you're on your road, if you can talk them. And the biggest thing is being able to talk, and not being afraid to talk. I suppose it's having courage and encouraging the young people. We did the launch at the school this morning, and it's great to see young people coming forward and empowering them that it's okay to talk. And
yeah, it's vital, isn't
yeah,
it, to
absolutely.
To speak to your family or friends. You know, if you can't speak to your family, speak to your friends.
Yeah, and there's no shame, you know. There's help out. There's so much help now, a lot more help probably than when I was initially diagnosed. But it, like, we don't know, and what, talking to one person can just throw many more. So that's the more we talk about it, the more it gets out there, and the more aware and the more educated, and then prevention is follows on naturally from that.
There's a lot more understanding now, I think, in the medical profession. I mean, obviously you felt comfortable going to your GP and talking about the issues that you were struggling with. You may not have been able to do that 20 or 30 years ago.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, like, again, I think the GPs, everyone needs to come under the umbrella for awareness and education to be able to work through all of this, really.
Now, you've gone through your challenges, your struggles, you're out the other side. Is your passion now to share your story and your what you've learned through this journey with others?
Absolutely, yeah. I suppose I turn a negative into a positive. And, you know, I went through my eating disorder, the destruction that it has caused, you know, not only to myself, but to my family, the upset, the hurt, the worry. And I don't want to see anybody else go through it. And if I can help through spreading my own story and helping them, that's, if we only help one person, that's one person. You know, so that's where my passion lies now, is in moving forward. When I was first diagnosed 10, 11 years ago, my dad said to me at the time, is that one day I will help other people. And I think that's always been my hope through. And I think hope is very important. And our self-belief, and that, you know, we can come out of this, and I can do good, and I can help other people. And
still carrying on with that caring profession, because nursing is an extremely caring profession. I've huge admiration for nurses, especially those who work in the end of life care, as you did yourself. So obviously you're bringing a lot of that into what you're doing now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when you're talking to young people, as you said, and I know Trish has mentioned, very often things can start at that young age. How important is it for those young people, maybe not just for themselves, but to have awareness of that and to watch out for the signals in their own friends or maybe family members?
Yeah, I think it's very important. You know, I think we've had experience in the last couple of weeks working with transition year students in St. Coleman's in Middleton, and they've done a fantastic job of putting their interpretation of eating disorders and body image and on posters, and it's been fantastic. And I think sometimes we maybe not give them enough credit that they are quite aware of what's going on. But again, I think we just need to empower them that it's okay to talk to one another and to look out for one another, and if they're concerned about a friend, that they speak about that, and that they, you know, guide them towards some further help. Or so it's about opening communication. It's about breaking that silence and opening communication, and just giving them the permission that it's okay to talk and it's okay to be open. about.
And body image is a huge thing. I mean, I see what, you know, I'm a mum myself. I have 5 kids, 4 girls. I see what they've been exposed to on a daily basis in Instagram and influencers and all of this. And it's so unrealistic, the lives that they're looking at online, that you could never measure up in your ordinary everyday life.
It's huge pressure. I mean, social media is a huge pressure. Personally, I know when I was going through kind of my worst stages is magazines.
Yeah.
And I used to buy a lot of magazines and, you know, look at all the diet pages, and I had to stop. And sometimes you have to withdraw from those things to give you some headspace and kind of to get those. But the kids these days, because the mobile phone is such a huge integral part of their daily life, it's popping up and they're seeing it all the time. But I think, again, it's just awareness, and it's being body positive and empowering these kids to use their strengths.
Yeah.
We're all unique. We all have our own talents, and we can bring those forward and encourage them to bring their talents forward and not to be afraid to stand in their own shoes. And another lovely saying is just to be yourself, because everybody else is taken. So you have to be yourself.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. And I, you know, I'd always encourage my own girls with their friends, you know, to just compliment each other, you know, tell each other good things, you know, tell your friend that she looks lovely today, or her hair is lovely, or she's gorgeous, you know, just to kind of put that into each other. And I love when I hear that. Them saying it to their friends, you know, if somebody comes in, you know, that they compliment the other person for whatever, you know, different things they do, how they look, what they're wearing, how cool they look, or something like that, you know, rather than this whole competition thing.
And just on that, Anna, absolutely, it's really important to help our young people not to be competitive, our older people as well,
yeah.
Any ages, really, not to be competitive. But the other piece as well is to encourage us to see the achievement, the good in the person, the
yep.
character of the person, because we are so much into how people are looking, and especially young people. So to help them move away to do that, of course, but also to see there's other areas where they can address, and character is really important, who the person really is.
Yeah, and that's it really, isn't it? Because there's so much that we can see in another person, and it's important that we bring that out.
Yeah.
Because very often, as you said, Grania, sometimes you don't see it in yourself. You know, if you're struggling with your own self-worth, you're not going to see it. So a few other people helping to bring that out could make an awful difference. Trish, you know, talking a little bit more about the week that's in it, are there any specifics in regards to this week that you really want to get out there?
What we are doing this week, we've had the launch this morning in St. Coleman's College, Middleton. Grania is the chairperson of the parents' committee out there, so we had that link, so we worked with them.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're doing is we're putting up on Facebook every day a bit something about an eating disorder, and then in the evening, a preventative measure that we need to put in place. So really, it's an educative piece.
Yes.
Every day for the rest of the week. We're going to be talking on the radio as well to different radio stations, and we've done pieces in the local papers as well. We're asking people to just learn about it. People can go to sleep around eating disorders because they're not understood. There's still those awful myths about girls wanting to be thin when it's a lot more than that, and I've spoken about the dangers of it. So we're asking people, if you see something out there, read it, learn about it, take it up, take it away, share it. Just spread the word and keep that conversation going around it. Yeah.
You mentioned one thing earlier on, Trish, and obviously too with clean eating. And I see that a lot at the moment. And, you know, you could think, oh, shit, this is wonderful. We're going down a really healthy route. But it may not be so wonderful for everyone.
No, because basically what it is... it's a diet in another form, really.
Mm.
It's cutting out food groups. It's having good and bad foods, which we know then generates the diet police in our head.
Yeah.
So we need to be very careful. We've actually, and I will be putting it up online, a declaration of no way, W-E-I-G-H, way. And it's borrowed from the National Association of Eating Disorders America, who've given us the permission to use it. But it's a set of principles about how to live in our bodies, really. And they're wonderful, really. So it talks about intuitive eating. It talks about how constant weighing and absorption, about how we look in our bodies, actually perpetuate the chances of eating disorders developing, and also how to come back into ourselves and start listening to what the body wants. So intuitive eating. I mean, there's a good bit of work. It's not easy to read and just apply. Mm. It does need some work. But
yeah,
they're very wise, very, very wise principles. Yeah.
And, you know, when somebody comes for help then, Trish, you know, very often we see it's only someone who a very critical stage with their disorder that they go for help. But it's important that people go for help, even if somebody doesn't recognise. They say, well, you know, you look fine.
Yeah,
you can't have an eating disorder,
yeah.
But they know themselves that there's a struggle, that there's a battle going on.
There is, and it's like Grainne was saying, even though friends were telling her, she couldn't hear it at that stage.
That's right, yeah. And I think, like, you know, if you, a lot of the research now, the typical, I would always have been sort of seen myself as, you know, the older person in a group when I was in inpatient, on the inpatient program, and maybe to some point I saw myself as not the typical, but that was probably myself not seeing myself. But you know, it's what's going on inside, so you don't have to look. It's not everyone that's thin.
Yes,
they can still have an eating disorder, so it's very important to differentiate both. Because there are so many types of eating disorders now that it doesn't, you can't, there's not, like, I suppose they go back to some of the myths.
Yeah.
Again, you know, and that's where the whole thing of education has to come in again.
And that's why it is so important to raise awareness about this whole area of eating disorders.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And we have a poster today about silence, that silence is one of the symptoms of an eating disorder. And it's like you're asking, Anna, you're saying, mentioning there about, you know, needing to be caught. Because people get silent around an eating disorder because it's a coping tool. So we need to have people on the alert, like teachers, parents, friends, all of those things that are wise to the eating disorder signs and catching it early. And we know that the earlier an eating disorder is caught, the faster recovery happens, and recovery will be very long standing when it's caught early.
And is there still a kind of a reluctance, though, we'd say, out there among family and friends and relatives and teachers to actually say, hang on now, I think there's something going on here. Is there still a reluctance to step into that area?
Oh, I believe so. I definitely believe so. Yeah, it's getting better. Unquestionably, it's getting better. But I do think so, yeah. They're frightened of getting it wrong, maybe.
Yeah, I think it is mostly out of fear.
Fear, yeah.
It is out of fear. I think just, you know, I think there's always going to be kind of that, I suppose, an eating disorder is a very isolating disorder. And like when you're in the sort of real midst of it, you isolate from your friends and family and you become, it's a lonely place to be. But it's easier to be on your own than to kind of face everything around, because, you know, you're social, you don't want to go and meet people for coffee. So, and all of these social things become just, so you're very much feel on your own. So that, and I think that's why it's so important to make other people aware so that they can pick up on those, because when you're in that real lonely place, you need to be brought out of it and you need help to come out of it.
Well, there may be somebody listening right now who knows that they're in that struggle, but as you said, Grainne, there was a lot of other things in your life. Maybe they're afraid, I just can't go there because it'll mean I'll have to deal with all of the other stuff that's out of control, and I can't even go and touch that. What would you say to them?
Well, from someone who has been through it, I suppose it's wonderful to be out on this side of it and on this recovery. You know, recovery has its challenges. It's not done overnight. It's not, I suppose, sometimes in my naivety, 10, 11 years ago, I thought I'd be grand and it would be just like flicking on and off the light switch and all those thoughts would go, but it doesn't happen like that. It is a long recovery. But like to anyone, I would just encourage people to come forward, because from being in where I am now, the world is a lot better. I can enjoy things again, you know, simple things like going out for a walk. I can now see the cherry blossom coming on the trees. I'm not walking to a to a certain pace, and it's just you get to kind of taste life again without all of this extra. You know, the anorexia is very powerful. It's an inner voice. It's all this negative thing coming through all the time. So it's lovely. So it's worth it if you, you know, to get your help, to look for help, and to look forward and have the hope of coming out the other end of it, because there is life after an eating disorder.
And to have freedom from that negative voice.
Yeah, just to get away from it. You know, there was often times that it's just so constant that you just would have loved to have just been able to take your head off and put it in another room and just get a break from all of that going on, because you're constantly, it's like having a bully in your head 24/7.
And there is hope. There is hope.
Yes, I was actually thinking that, looking at the sign where there's life, there's hope. I think that's the big thing. Mm. There is hope. Mm. Grainne's hope.
Yeah.
And you were saying this morning, Grainne, about not being frightened to speak out about your eating disorder.
There is no shame. There is no shame in it. And to come forward, and because that's where the help is.
Yeah, yeah, to share what's going on, to tell somebody.
Yeah, and you meet other people who have been, and like probably no one's journey, no two people's journey with eating disorders is the same, because we all have our different, but it's just even nice to be able to sit down with people that understand.
Yeah.
And that's early, even in my eating disorder, it was just nobody understands. You felt nobody understood how you felt or what was going on, but they do. And it's nice just to be in an area where you're getting some support and people do understand. Mm. And that takes a lot of the pressure off.
Yeah, and there's no judgment. They're there to help, to support.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Trish, finally, if people do want more information, is there help available for family members, for parents, for siblings also?
There is, yeah. We run education programs for siblings, for carers, for partners, parents, whatever. In fact, we'll be starting one again now in April, early April. So they run throughout the year.
And what about for those who are looking for help today, Trish? Mm-hmm. Where can they find that?
They can ring our number 021-453-9900 or the website www.edcc.ie.
And there's a lot of information online if people want to find
Absolutely. And just going back very quickly to the Facebook and social media pages this week, they really are worth just checking in on, because you might pick up one or two little things you didn't know about an eating disorder and how to work at prevention and so on. So we'd ask people to go on there and like the pages if they like it. We'd appreciate that.
And what's the pages again, Trish?
The page is www.eatingdisordercentrecork.ie/Facebook.
we have those details here. If anybody's missed them, they can get in contact with us here at the station. Trish Shields and Grainne Murray, thank you both so much for coming in and speaking to us here on The Level today.